What's up, drinking comrades? Welcome back to our podcast, the Beverage Kit Podcast, dedicated to the discussion of beverages with an Asian perspective. I'm your resident host, Sean Oh, co-founder of the Beverage Kit Academy that's located in Singapore. Now, for this edition, we have traveled to the far west, and well, the far west of Singapore, that is, to the National Technological University of Singapore, NTU. And we have the two exco members of the Wine Society, Kehien as well as Julian. Okay, welcome to our podcast. Now, as always, before we start the podcast, we will start off with a flashcard question for the learners who are still learning about wine, spirits and sake. You know, you're preparing for your exam. So in this edition, this month's spirits question, right, is what is the boiling point of ethanol? What is the boiling point of ethanol? We will reveal the answer towards the end of the episode. Okay, hello Kehien and Julian. Welcome. It's great to have you on air. How is everything going?
Oh yeah, school is fun, but you know, Wine Society is...
I can totally hear the enthusiasm in your voice.
Yes.
Well, school, yeah, school should be fun for most, especially if you like learning. The academy is also part of learning, so I'm sure we can all appreciate that. Maybe for the context of everyone, we're actually here today partially also because we did the Ryohao masterclass for your students, and hopefully you know there's good feedback from it, and hopefully you guys don't like shut us out ever. We'll probably see you again.
Yeah.
Let's start by telling us more about both of you. You know, your background. What do you do in the Wine Society? Start off with Julian first.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I really appreciate Sean having us here today. So I think maybe I'll give a brief background on like Wine Society. So like we are NTU club. So we hold events for our members who are NTU students and also technically professors and master students as well, graduate students as well.
Okay.
So as long as you're an NTU student, you can join our membership and you can come for our events. So we typically hold events almost every week. We try to like introduce the ways of drinking wine, the academic part of it, and bringing more fun stuff as well. Like, you know, we have, like today we partnered with Sean to show the Ryohao Wine event. So as for myself, I'm the incoming president for Wine Society for the next academic year.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, so in school, I'm doing accounting and business.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think...
All accountants need to drink, obviously.
Yeah, actually, when I was doing my internship, they told me, if you want to be a banker, you need to drink at least 2 glasses of wines per day.
Wow, okay. So, not sure where you got that from, but okay.
I'm not sure this will be enough.
Yeah, 2 glasses might not be enough, the stress level.
Yeah.
Okay. How about Kehien, you?
All right, so yeah, I am currently a year 4 communication student at the Wee-Kim Wee School of Communication. I also happen to be in Wine Society for, now it's my 4th year in Wine Society. I've been around for like maybe 3+ years.
Okay.
I am currently stepping down from the Honorary General Secretary role of Wine Society, currently taking a bed seat, being an events manager instead. Yeah, it's great that, you know, in the recent, we just had the Ryohao Wine event, people were actually quite receptive to all the crazy wine jargon. Like, it wasn't too much. People were having fun learning about wines as well, which is quite heartwarming to see.
Okay, good to know. Hopefully I didn't make it too tough for them. Okay. Oh, you mentioned about professors and you mean your professors and your deans also join in for this thing as well?
Technically, they're allowed to, but I think our main audience that we tend to get are undergraduate students.
Okay.
They form the bulk majority of the participants that we have.
I see. So there is a membership fee then to join the Wine Society?
No, to join Wine Society, actually, our membership is free. You can just join as long as you're an NTU student or a staff in NTU. Yeah, you're allowed to join our member.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, that's good. I mean, it's free membership. And I don't think the event cost is too expensive as well, right?
Yeah, so the event cost varies from event to event. So... as a member, we will publish each event about 1 week before the event. Mm. And in each publicity material that we put out, we also list the fee for each event, right? So maybe certain events we bring in better wines, so of course they will cost a bit more.
Yep.
Certain events will cost a bit less. So it really varies. But I think generally speaking, the fees are quite reasonable compared to the wines that we got to taste, especially like today.
Yeah.
There's some really exotic wines that I've never tried before.
That's a good way to describe your wines. Okay, well, yeah. in terms of, well, because both of you are kind of like incoming, outgoing sort of thing, and you've seen how the Wine Society has changed. Has the value of the Wine Society still been the same to your, you know, to the student body, or do you think it's kind of evolved over the years? Because, I mean, Julian is kind of new, probably, you know, maybe not, but for Kehen's case?
I think, first of all, like, you know, we had 2 hard years of, like, COVID.
With the COVID batch.
Yeah, with the COVID batch. So things were quite difficult because of COVID. But it's great that people are still very interested in learning about wines. Because, you know, there was this sort of, like, worry that people will start drinking at home and not really come out to drink anymore.
Like me?
Yeah, and, like, you know, like, generally that was, like, the trend that a lot of bars and, like, places observe.
Right.
But it's hard for me to see that, you know, students are actually still quite willing to step up and, like, learn more about wines. Even if it's get a bit tacky, it gets a bit geeky, people are still, like, you know, interested to learn more. Which I think that's the change that I'm seeing. Like, at least in, like, the three, four years that I've been in Wine Society, that, like, more and more students are more proactive in wanting to learn more about your wines, learning more about their tipples. And that's great to see.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Well, that's very encouraging.
Mm.
Which brings me to my question, what actually brought both of you into wine? Maybe Julian, what, you know, how did you first stumble upon wine?
Okay.
Were you fed as, you know, fed as a baby, or
No, I think that would be illegal.
Well, not so, to some European countries, no.
Yeah, but for me, I think initially, I think we all start out drinking alcohol somewhere, right? So as a young student, when I was in NS, we all just start out drinking to get drunk. Right? So then we start out drinking, like, the hard liquors and the cheaper form of alcohol for the purpose of getting drunk. Then afterwards, I thought, like, oh, actually, this isn't really my sort of thing. And in year one, I stumbled across Wine Society in campus. Like, they had an open house. Yeah. But back then, I didn't really join. So I only joined, like, last year. I went back to search again. So the main reason why I wanted to join was two main reasons. So the first was to really to learn more about wine and, like, you know, how to learn how to be more... how to describe the wines that I'm tasting, and all that. Yeah. Second reason is more career driven.
Okay.
So
it's a life skill, isn't it?
It's a life skill. Yeah, like, it's a networking kind of thing. Like, you know, I'm studying business, right? So in the business field, like, there are only a few topics where it's very safe to bring up. Sports is too polarizing. Politics is too polarizing.
Yeah.
So the best things to bring up are golf and wine.
Tennis as well, but
I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, it can be polarizing as well because it's still sports, right?
Yeah.
Yes, you're right,
Yeah.
Okay, wine. I didn't think about it that way, but you do make a point. I think I do notice that quite a number of our own learners are also from either SMU, NTU, or NUS. So, you know, it is quite encouraging to see more and more people actually take up wine. I think it's a lot easier for them to learn at a more tender age.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you're still in that momentum of studying, right?
Yeah.
Rather than most of the adults that actually come to us. Okay, good to know. What about you, Kehen?
Okay, so you also had a comment about, like, being spoon-fed wine as a baby. Almost close, but not really. So just to protect my... I'll just say an undisclosed family member.
Okay.
Gave me, like, a glass of Cabernet Sauvignon when I was 8 years old.
Wow.
You know that thing where, like, adults will give you wine, say, oh, this is Ribena, and then you'll drink it as a kid.
Yeah.
So... when I drank that glass of Cabernet Sauvignon, I knew it wasn't a Ribena, but I liked it nonetheless.
At 8 years old?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, this is a Ribena, but it kind of tastes pretty nice.
Remember which cab was it?
I have no idea. It probably was either like a South of France one or an Australian one. But I remember it being Cabernet Sauvignon because it's, like, very purple and thick. So it's probably that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
And fast forward a few years, I didn't start getting the wine. I was actually more of, like, a whiskey person. So I was, like, you know, doing my NS as well, trying to figure out what kind of tables I like. Whiskey happened to be the one. So I was visiting a lot of whiskey bars, going for whiskey tastings, getting drunk sometimes.
Well, most of the time.
Yeah. And then I came to... So before I came to NTU, I heard that there's this, like, wine society, something like a legend. Like, you know, why would they have this club in university, right? So I remember that the open house came, like, maybe 4 years ago. I was hunting for this society. I was just like looking around, like, okay, where's World Society? Where is it? And yeah, I've chanced upon it and just like signed up right away because I wanted to just learn more about like alcohol in general.
Wow, okay.
And, yeah, and I'm stuck in here for quite a while and still stuck here.
Well, would you ever come back? I mean, after you graduate, you think?
If there's an opportunity to come back, I'll just like smuggle my way to NTU maybe.
Yeah, you're actually seeding the, you know, seeding it with Julian already. Please remember, call me back. When it's time. Okay. Well, I mean, it's good that everybody seems to be wanting to drink more, right? But it's always been seen that wines is kind of like an old man's drink. I mean, in a way, if you think about it, right? The demographics that people, that you tend to associate it with is people who are between 30 onwards, maybe, to 80, 90, you know, depending on how you see it. So it's always been seen to be slightly more pretentious to some. Do you guys think it in that sense? I mean, you in Wine Society, obviously you might not, but in your everyday observation of either your friends, you know, you're talking to them about wines or just general consumers, do you feel that they feel that you know, wine snob, I don't want to talk to you?
Okay, I think sometimes I do get that. Like sometimes like there's also some bad habits that I've taken on from wines. So you know how you smell and like aerate the wine?
Yeah.
I do that to like everything. So like water, hot kopi, and kopitiam, like even like normal poka green tea, I'll just do that. It's just our habit, you know. Then they're like, why are you doing that? I'm like, oh, our force of habit. I know they're just teasing. I don't think they actually think that pretentious, but I mean, that's a kind of like a quote that I got from all these wine tastings, I guess. And I think generally people, when they think about wine, they are kind of intimidated by like the barrier because, you know, like movies and like shows, they tend to hype up wine as like this sophisticated and like elegant thing that only mature people can understand.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think like among my circle of friends, people do get a bit scared of wine sometimes, but that doesn't stop them from like, you know, sometimes picking a bottle of wine from like NTUC or cold storage and seeing whether they like it or not.
Okay.
Which is good to see, because like, I mean, at the end of the day, if you like our wine, I don't know what it's about. As long as you like it, it's still fine, I think.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't turn the person away, I guess it's fine.
Mm.
What about Julian? Do you experience such problems in
actually,
your life?
Actually, yeah, it's quite true, I guess, to a certain extent. Whenever I bring up that I joined Wine Society, people look at me like, whoa, what a wine snob. you know, that kind of thing. And whenever I talk to my friends about wines, not a lot of people within our age range tend to prefer wines. I think they tend to prefer like beers, maybe hard liquor as well. I think like Sean, you mentioned, like it's typically seen as a more mature people kind of beverage, above 30. Yeah, actually I do see that like among my friends, colleagues as well. Yeah, but I think that's because people haven't got the chance to try wine, right? Mm-hmm. So you know, where's the best place to try wine? Join NTU Wine Society.
Oh, that's a good shout out. There we go. But I mean, is that how you would get people on board to drink wine? Is that how would you actually get your friends to you know, appreciate wines then?
Oh, I think for me, initially I also really thought like, you know, like Kanye mentioned, there's a barrier, right? So initially I thought like, oh, it must when I drink wine and I don't really know how to describe it, people might look at me like, oh, this guy doesn't really know what he's talking about. But I think Wine Society has like provided me quite a safe space when I joined last year, right? So I could just taste it and like, you know, I might not know how to describe it, but I can just say, oh, I like it, or
yeah,
I don't really like it,
yeah,
right? And then when people start talking, and then you'll be like, then somebody mentioned, oh, maybe it's a bit too alcoholic, a bit too acidic. Then that's why I pick up like how to describe as well, like the bouquet, it's very meaty, it has a very very strong olive smell. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I pick up along the way. So I think as long as I think like you just need to like try or get like some, join like some tasting session, or just buy a bottle of wine at home and try yourself. And you'll see that wine is just not as pretentious, I guess.
Would that be how you would recommend wines to your friends, those who don't drink? Or are there any like special techniques that you would do?
Okay.
Again?
So yeah, like what Julian mentioned, like I mean, granted, I'm in like NTU right now, so obviously I will try to plug White Society wherever I can. But truthfully, White Society has been quite a safe space to explore wine, because number one, you don't have to finish the whole bottle. It's already split among like many people. So like the cost to drink the wine is already much lower.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Mm. And secondly, yeah, like we don't get too hung up on like, you know, like, oh, this wine is like a very good wine, this wine is a very outstanding wine. You can't really just figure out like what you can describe the wine and what you like and don't like about it. So yeah, honestly, then I mean, given my circle of friends are like from NTU, I try to get them to like, maybe come down for a session as well. Because this really like, I think the safest space to learn about wine without breaking your wallet as like college students.
I agree. You guys mentioned about other alcoholic drinks like spirits. Earlier on, I heard beer as well. How do you feel about other alcoholic drinks? Since that, you know, wine society is kind of like it's a wine society, right? Mm. You know, things like sake or whiskey. Your thoughts about that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, actually, even though we are wine society, we actually do have collaboration events. So like with Japanese society, we bring in sake. With Korean society, we bring soju. We're thinking of maybe a whiskey event. We also have like cocktail events.
I could do it for you guys.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yo, well, I do represent some brands for whiskey as well. Okay, awesome. Good to know. Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking of cocktail event. We had cocktail events. So like we made like sangria using like wine, all that. So I think like in addition to wine, we also try to expose our students to the different types of alcoholic beverage,
mm-hmm.
and like the ways to taste the different alcoholic beverage and compare them to wine as well. Mm. What's the difference? Which one do you like more? Yeah.
Would you feel that the reception would not be as good or resounding towards, I mean, compared to wine if you did that event? Because by comparison, I'm sure you guys did some of these events before. Was it still very well received, or you think, right, it depends?
Actually, I think these events might be even more well received.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for starters, like there's such a huge demand for whiskey event. Like we ask them, hey, what do you drink? Whiskey. Like, oh, and like we ask that for across the board, student body, a lot of people are whiskey drinkers, or at least closeted whiskey drinkers. So like yeah, like anyway, they talk about wine, that like, yeah, okay. Then they talk about sake, we bring in like beer, maguli, and so they're like, whoa. So it depends. I mean, we are still wine society, but we are definitely trying to like broaden the scope of like alcoholic beverages, because I mean there's a demand for it here as well.
Okay.
Surprisingly.
Okay, good to know. I just figured that maybe some people might feel that maybe not for whiskey, but sake, like for example sake, might be a bit difficult to understand, because you know the label might be a bit foreign to some. Do you feel that way? I mean, personally,
to be honest, I've never really tasted much sake. The first sake I tasted honestly was in Wine Society.
Oh
yeah.
Okay.
Personally didn't really enjoy it as much as wines, so I think I'll like try. I'll be open to exploring more, but so far wouldn't say I really like sakes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's hope to change that next time around. I do a sake event with you guys. What do you think? Sake, is that a tough nut to crack, in your opinion?
Not so much of a tough nut to crack. So much so it's uncharted territory for us actually. Because now while we did do like sake events, we also include like, you know, like cocktails and like liqueurs from Japan. But when it comes to like true blue sake, like, you know, your dry sakes or sweet sakes, that is something that even many people haven't tasted, so they're not sure themselves also.
Oh.
So like you know, like Julian, like some people came in and said, hey, this is the first sake I've ever tried in my life, and I sort of like it, or they claim don't really like it. So yeah, it's more of uncharted territory, not so much as it's a hard nut to crack, because we really did have the opportunity to do a pure sake event, and I think we just don't know the sensing of that, because many college students haven't tried sake at that level at least. Mm. At most, izakaya when they're eating food or like in a restaurant, but not like as is.
Okay. Because we, just to give you a bit of context, actually as a company, we do work with the Japan Sake and Shochu Association in Japan. So they're actually very keen to understand in terms of the how receptive would sake be to general consumers. But if you group them based on different age groups, right, it's a lot easier to chart the ones that are more mature. So in between the 30s, 40s, and 50s. So most of the consumers also tend to reside in that band. And if you look at Japan, right, you're talking about in the 50s, people who are in the 50s, 60s, 70s who are drinking sake, maybe not the younger crowd. So they're actually quite keen to find out a little bit more about how well received it will be if it's being, I mean, it's being more promoted, I suppose, in places like Singapore. Because Singapore, again, it's a statistic that we know. We are the fourth in terms of importation worldwide for sake. Yes. So we are only behind China, US, and Hong Kong.
Oh, wow.
And we're only behind because of things like, so like for Hong Kong's case, because of taxation, at a certain alcohol percentage, right, you're not being taxed. So it's kind of like a free market in Hong Kong. Singapore's case, there is still alcohol tax involved. Yeah. So, but even that's so, right, we're importing so much more sake. So that's something that's also encouraging, but the brewers in Japan don't really know where they are, you know, which direction should they go. So having your perspective as a more layman understanding of the beverage, right, will truly help. So maybe, you know, someday we will probably need to do a sake masterclass for you guys so that we also know whether or not, okay, you know, is it well received in this market? Okay, what about spirits then? Spirits wise, I mean, you talk about whiskey, right? Because for me, before I started the whole drinks journey, right, spirits has always been a drink that I drink in clubs. You know, I get drunk on it.
Yeah,
nice. Right. Bourbon, Coke.
A bit more affordable at a student's age.
Yeah, yeah. In a way, you can see it's more affordable, right? Yeah. So is it still seen as a drink that I'm only there to, you know, chug and get drunk on? What do you think? You guys don't go clubbing?
All right. So for me personally, whiskey and our current crowd is a bit of a complicated relationship. Like, yes, definitely there's the crowd that, you know, goes and get it. Like, for there's a crowd that has spirits as the express ticket to the promised land, right?
The promised land, okay.
But there's surprisingly a lot of people who like really take their whiskey quite seriously. So like I'm personally in like a whiskey interest group as well.
Oh.
Okay. And like they try to schedule like a bi-weekly whiskey meeting, and they were like, hey, this whiskey tastes better with 2 drops of water. This whiskey does better with rocks. Like, you, that level of like whiskey tasting.
Oh, that's very detailed and,
yeah,
or very discerning of them.
Sometimes they'll even do like vertical tastings. I mean, when they can afford it, they're like, hey, let you get one bottle, I get one bottle, let's do a vertical tasting together. Like, so yeah, like I've heard both crowds, and it's, yeah, like kind of a complicated relationship in the sense that there's one crowd that has that to get drunk, and the other crowd that really gets very nerdy about it.
Okay.
And I think precisely because whiskey is easier to store, and it's like an investment thing to them. So you buy one bottle of whiskey, you leave it at home, and you can, you know, enjoy it for months or even years. And personally, that's what I do as well. And yeah, so it's in a sense an economical way of like getting into spirits and like alcohol in general as well, because it just doesn't spoil.
Okay, so it really depends on, but well, I guess judging from what you say, right, I guess times haven't really changed since my time. It's still seen as a party drink to some, at least. Okay, cool. Moving back to the Wine Society's, you know, goals and aspirations as well as collaborations, was there any very memorable event that you guys did before, and you were thinking, okay, we kind of need to do this like again to, you know, so it's actually good for listeners or who wants to be collaborators with all of you, to aspire to be, you know, okay, this is the level that I should be at to be more engaged with people of your generation. So any memorable events they've done in the past? It doesn't have to be one, it can be a few.
Oh, for me, I think, because last year I planned like 3 different events. Out of the 3, I think the most memorable for me was the Eco Wines event. So we had Eco Wines event where
sustainable wines.
Yeah, sustainable wines, wines that are grown sustainably. So for the event, I think we had another speaker come in as well. So then he was introducing like how the wines are, how can the wines be sustainable? So there are many ways, like in which like you can cut down the carbon. So from the way that wine is grown, what type, maybe you don't use pesticides, or like what, how you do the irrigation, and all the way to like bottling. So like bottling, you can cut down like the amount of glass that you use for
yep,
your bottle.
Yep, the weight.
Exactly. Yeah. And like certain things like to cut down on like the, you know, when you ship it out, the carton, the boxes that you use also,
yeah.
you can cut down on that. I think that was very interesting to me.
Oh, it's very informative. To me, I think it's very informative
yeah.
as well. Yeah. We just had an announcement that there's the world's first carbon-free emission sake, actually, that was produced
oh.
yeah, by this brand called Fukuju. So that's also quite a, well, it's the world's first, so, you
that's
know, watch that space.
Mm.
Okay, how about you? Any memorable events that you did previously?
Memorable events. That had to be a Portuguese/Madeira wine event that we had.
Portuguese Madeira?
Yes. So,
okay.
Is it okay if I do a shout out? So shout out to
sure,
Corjitas.
Coeta
Wines,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
they were great
yeah.
people. Shout out to you, Mark, as well. It was probably the most expensive event I've ever been to date. So $24, but the wines we had were really good. Really catapulted me towards the fortified wine and like sweet wine category.
Because
I had at least one Malvasia that's so good.
Yeah.
Like I don't remember what's it called or what exactly is, but it just looked like the sunset when you're holding against the white light.
Yeah.
And that's like the only thing I really remember. And it tasted really good. And yeah, that's definitely like the event that I will always remember because it introduced me to such a new category of wine that I never
yeah.
thought was possible.
Okay. Oh, I never expected that Coeta would be doing an event here before. I mean they are quite prominent group that imports quite unique fortifieds and in Portuguese wine. Okay, good to know. Oh, this is the level that we need to aspire to. And what about like collaborations in the future? Are you guys looking to plan something in the next 2 months or even a year or 2 years in advance? What are you looking to do? You know, it gives other collaborators a bit of an idea as well.
Yeah, I think this academic year we hold events almost every week. So each event will have a specific theme, and I think we're bringing back some of the more popular events. Like I think we had feedback that the Eco Wines event was really good. Yeah. So since you did a shout out, my turn to do a shout out too. I think like the one was done by Francois from Galliana Wines.
Oh, Francois.
Yeah, Francois.
Oh, yeah, I know him.
Okay. Small world.
I think Francois is no longer at Galliana though.
Oh, oops.
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 Yeah. But I think he's at Grand Van now. But yeah, I just met him the other day. Okay, well, good to know.
Yeah,
he's very knowledgeable. I think he did a stint of facilitating courses or hospitality courses in Nanyang Poly, I think.
Yeah.
For a period of time. I'm not wrong. Okay. Yeah, Francois, if you hear this, yeah. People do remember you.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, there's some other events that we bring back, like cocktail events, a German collab event where we have like beers as well.
Oh, beers.
Yeah.
Oh, how do the beers? I mean, what, in bottled form or was it? I'm sure it's not in keg form, right?
Bottled form, yeah.
Okay. So you guys are looking towards. So there's going to be a beer one and.
There's going to be eco wines. There's going to be cocktails. Maybe wine and cheese pairing. We're exploring that.
Okay.
Maybe we're gonna go for something more casual and relaxed, like party wines, like something that's more
like wines under $25.
Yes.
Ah, okay. Well, that can work as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I heard you guys are doing a sake one next year as well. Possible?
Yeah, potentially, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Potentially.
So, is that like a Japan week thing or?
Yeah. Generally, there will be like a collaboration with like the Japanese society. I think we've been doing that the past few years, right?
Yeah, and they are good sports. They come down and quite enjoy our sake tasting as well.
Okay, good to know, Finally, okay, any hopes for the club, right? You know, because all of you are exco members, you would eventually also leave, but you know, we're probably laying some groundwork for your future successor. So, any hopes for the club moving forward?
Okay, maybe as someone who.
Yeah.
It has been in one society for considerable amount of time.
Yep.
Not much aspirations apart from just hoping that the club will continue to interest people to learn more about wine, similar to how it did for me. Because I have never went so deep into wines. I've never considered wine courses with you.
Oh, yeah. In case people don't know this, but Kehin is also an alumni of ours. He did WZ Level 3 with us. Still waiting for results, yes? Okay.
I'm just hoping that One Society will continue to inspire folks like me to like just learn more about wine and be interested in the category.
Okay.
That's my greatest aspiration for the society. Mm.
You guys are 300 strong right now, right? Your membership?
Yeah, around it.
Around there is quite a sizable amount of people. Yeah.
Are you intending to like meet a new KPI?
In terms of KPI, I just hope, because right now our event venues are quite small, limited, so maybe there's a chance that you can have like bigger events with more people, you have more people that come out and help out and make the event like really big and solid. I think that is the pinnacle that we should try to reach.
I think that's something we are looking to explore. We can do bigger events because, you know, we have 300 members, but each event can only hold, let's say, 30 people. That's only 10% of our membership.
Is it always oversubscribed when you...
Usually, right?
Usually.
Once we blast it out, it's usually subscribed within like... Sometimes, I think last year, some of the events were subscribed within half an hour.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was fully subscribed in half an hour and I myself was shocked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. A lot of alcoholics out
there. We all have to cope with study somehow.
Yeah.
I never had to worry about drinking when I was still studying. But again, that was another lifetime ago. Okay. Well, thank you both. Yeah. For attending our show and giving such valuable insights to your current generation and you know what's NTUC Wine Society about. I think it's probably a good time for me to wrap up this month's episode. So here's a quick shout out to all our listeners to check out our website, schedules. For any beverage certification programs, you can log in. And again, we run it monthly, so please keep an eye on the schedule. Now, the answer to that spirits flashcard question. Do you know the answer to that? Anyone?
78.3.
Yes, good. Thank you very much. Good. Yeah, it's 78.3. Sounds like an FM radio frequency. So it's 78.3 degrees. Thank you very much. If you'd like to learn or you'd like to listen to more of such content, please do remember to follow and subscribe to our channel, and I look forward to seeing all of you again at the next episode. And remember, a drink always tastes better when the company clicks. Cheers. Goodbye.